Good morning, wonderful listeners. You've tuned into Post Session Podcast, a podcast filled with the stoke of a surf session and the wise guidance of an ocean voyager. Your water-loving hosts are ready to share this infectious state of mind while encouraging and inspiring you for your next adventure. The first thing we're going to talk about, everybody, are some post-session notes, where Laurel is going to run us through what's happening on the water with the surfing. Maybe I'll rap about some freediving, whatever. Whoop, whoop. Then we're going to move on to Injustice of the Week. We're going to dive a little deeper into our subject matter, and then we're going to tread in some God waters. Ooh. Where you're going to, okay, not ghost waters, God waters.
Holy ghost waters.
Holy ghost waters, there you go. So Laurel will do our little Devo, and then we're going to send you guys off with some homework.
Womp, womp, womp.
All right. Laurel, post-session notes, what you got for us, sister?
Okay, so the swell's kind of passed on by, but since we were talking about the things we learned on the water, let's go back in time. When I first learned to surf, although it was 2005, I was driving a blue 87 Grand Prix.
A classic.
Close your eyes and picture a big old hoopty-mobile. Mm. It had doors so heavy and long that I had to use my feet to push them open. Instead of the booming bass speakers, bass. Instead of the booming bass speakers.
There's some loud fish back there.
And low profile tires you would expect, I had soft surf racks that wrapped through my car and leaked when it rained.
This is a
drip, drip, drip.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Coming on and off our well-to-do Wrightsville Beach, I was an eyesore.
What has changed?
But this eyesore was how my husband, Don, first noticed me. He was training for a marathon and running on the beach and would see me speed by without a care in the world. I was poor white trash and didn't even know it.
Laurel, this says a lot more about Don than it does about you.
Okay, possibly. So not only did surfing become my addiction, it also got me a husband.
Wow.
All you single ladies need to learn to surf. What about you, Ashley?
Well, you know what's hilarious is that I, too, drove a Grand Prix at one point. Oh. A blue one.
What?
Yeah, a 92.
Oh, that's so super new.
Four-door.
Oh, four-door.
But somebody...
The luxury.
It was a luxury vehicle. It was... somebody backed into my car. I drove a Nissan Sentra that I loved. Uh-huh. Because I could fill the tank up for like $8 back then.
I just want to say, on the topic of an 87 or a Grand Prix,
yeah.
Didn't they ride smooth? Like every car since then, like I'm in a Subaru now, I feel like I'm getting jerked around. The Grand Prix was all about the smooth ride.
Until you hit 70 on I-40, and then the steering wheel shook. So I'd have to disagree. When I bought my Volkswagen, that's the first time I felt like I was riding in a smooth...
What? They look like they're bouncing around on the road.
No, my Volkswagen Jetta drives like a dream.
A Jetta. I thought you were talking about a bug.
No, not the bug. But you know what? This... When somebody totaled my Nissan Sentra, fate crapped out the Grand Prix on my doorstep, and that's also what I was driving when I met Ren.
What?
Yeah, except unlike Don, who
we
was
were destined
drawn to
be together.
We were, but I don't think Ren felt the same way about me as you do, because it took him 6 years to ask me to marry him, and I'm pretty sure it's because he was suspicious of me when he saw me driving that car.
Oh, God, I think Don just knew that I needed him. Okay, this conversation has dwindled down to we are to the place where we can come into something better. Dun, dun, dun.
Is it going to be the injustice of the week?
Okay, seriously.
What's puckering your butthole this week, Laurel?
Okay, Wrightsville Beach and all its prissiness has gone up another 50 cents. Like, you know, most things that go up in price, don't they generally go up incrementally? This is a half a dollar more per hour. So in Wrightsville Beach,
Right now, we're up to $3 an hour. That's a lot of money.
Wait. It costs $3 an hour to park at Riceville Beach?
Every hour.
That is lame. You know what that sounds like to me?
It sounds like a ripoff.
Hey, poor folk. You're not good enough for us, you know. It's
don't
like
be coming
just,
to our beach. That's what they're saying.
This is our beach.
Well, and not only that, they've taken the hours that used to be 9 to 6 p.m. and some of the lots go till 8.
You mean you can park free? You used to be able to park free after 6 p.m.
Right. So they stopped metering your car at 6 p.m. last year.
Yeah.
This year, not only did it go up 50 more cents an hour, but some of the parking lots are taking money until 8 p.m.
Oh, my gosh.
It's after dark.
That's way after dark now. And it's only locals left here, Laurel.
Exactly. So that's who they're sticking it to is the locals. Give us a break. Let the tourists at least, you know, I mean, I get it. They're having to pay too. But a lot of the tourists are staying on the beach. They're not paying for parking.
Or let them absorb the cost while they're here. But you know what the problem is because Riceville Beach isn't local anymore. It's not local. That's the problem. I'll go ahead and tell you, I am disenchanted with Riceville Beach. Riceville Beach does not look like the popular girl that you can't wait to be friends with because she's glowing and her clothes are clean and she's so welcoming and nice. No, she's the B-I-T-C-H that's eating lunch alone because she's
alienated.
Everybody. That's what Riceville Beach is. And let me tell you a little secret, Riceville Beach. Topsail's right down the street.
And it's free parking year-round.
And the beaches are wide open and quiet, and there's still grassroots. There's Carolina Beach in the other direction.
Yep.
I'm sorry, but once all the rich people move to Riceville Beach and buy it all up, there's not going to be anybody there to enjoy the beach because they all live in Raleigh and Charlotte.
Or New Jersey. And they just come down. It's their house for, you know, 2 months maybe, 3 months.
Yeah, all the old timers can't afford the property taxes to live on Riceville Beach. So
well, you had a run in. Tell us about that. Riceville Beach.
That's me sighing into the mic. Yeah, we got kicked out of Riceville Beach on our sailboat.
That's like when I got kicked out of the Bahamas. that's another story.
It's probably different. Yeah, we weren't carrying drugs. I'm just joking. I don't know why you were kicked out of the Bahamas, but I can't wait
to
hear.
That's a good guess, but go ahead. So how did you get kicked off Riceville Beach?
Because our boat was parked there.
In the Lollipop, because I used to be able to go over there and take a little dinghy out to your sailboat and sit out there and you'd cook me breakfast.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
It was great.
Wonderful.
And I got my beautiful little children got to enjoy living at the beach for a month.
Yeah.
Or two in the summertime before we put our boat up on the river and moved back into our place. But, you know, my husband was born here and raised here.
And I too.
Well, not an hour away.
That's local.
I've been here since 2001, and I think it unfair that we don't have access to the waters. I mean, we parked our sailboat outside of the Riceville Beach, the town
boundaries. Yeah, you're in the intercoastal waterway that belongs to no one.
But
now,
Riceville Beach, because they're so elite, they have this extraterritorial zone where they have jurisdiction a mile outside of their
It's not
boundaries.
Even a mile across to the intercoastal waterway behind the beach. So they own it all.
Yeah. Or they have control over it all. So no boats can be there. You can be there for 30 days. But really, they just want to make sure that people are not setting up shop and, you know.
Dude, they should be paying you to park your beautiful sailboat, your trimaran.
That's it.
And your beautiful tow-headed children sitting on that's like a picturesque. I would want to take the picture with your boat in the backdrop.
I think people that complain, thank you, first of all. I appreciate that mentality. That's why we're buddies. But I think these people are not thinking.
It's because we both had a Grand Prix.
Yeah. and our husbands are wise and calm. Well, yours is. But these people don't care about that. They don't care about the sailboat or the lifestyle or anything like that. They care about what's theirs.
You know? Mine.
It's like there's still little 3-year olds.
It's a little ridiculous. I mean, I had a woman paddle out to ask me, how long are you going to be here? And I said, we usually enjoy about a month here before we move on. Mm-hmm. Well, it's just that your boat is right where we like to water ski. Laurel, we backed up so close to the marsh that on low tide,
we were
in the mud.
You were in the mud.
Every time. We made sure to be out of any zone. If you're water skiing there,
you had plenty
then
of
social
room.
Services needs to call on your kids. You and take your kids away from you because you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
So it's embarrassing, really, for them what's going on. And I'm surprised, actually, that the public doesn't
outcry
a little bit more.
We don't have any control. We don't have any. They are on the board of aldermen. They've got their city council, you know, all their stuff, the mayor. It's all cinched up in a tight little, yep.
And then they're going to take away surfing, which we talked about last week.
Oh, don't get me going. That's for another one.
Adios, Riceville Beach.
So let's dive a little deeper, Ash. Let's get into deeper. Something.
Let's dive deeper. So, Laurel, we've been throwing around this show idea for a while. We originally called the episode Everything I Need to Know I Learned in the Restaurant Industry because it is so true. Yeah, because it's true. Efficiency, self-respect, all these things I learned in the restaurant. But because
86,
you're,
that jump.
because you're the writer of the group, no, you brought us back to our senses and you brought us back within our overarching theme. And we landed on everything we need to know we learned on the water, and which is a much, much better topic anyway. So you know what? During our brainstorms.
Unless you're doing a Hell's Kitchen podcast.
Yes, which we're not.
Okay, moving on.
But you know what? Thanks for digressing right there. That was needed. Super useful. During our brainstorming session, I really realized how many important life lessons have come from my time on the water. I think you feel the same way.
Absolutely.
The sailing and the diving.
Surfing.
Yeah, the character building lessons. Mm-hmm. You want me to just tell you about my primary one, the
yes,
first
please.
One I have listed here?
Yep.
So the most important lesson that I think has come through sailing is contentment. Learning the value of contentment, which the Bible preaches contentment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being content, not always wanting, needing.
Oh, got it.
Got it. But although life is much harder on the boat, it's also infinitely more simple.
Ooh.
You have the opportunity to be content. You appreciate, you learn to appreciate anyway, the little that you have and not focus on all the things you don't. You're not constantly inundated with commercials.
Because obviously you can't get an Amazon package.
No, you're not waiting for an Amazon package and you're not, you know, looking at the new car.
You're not even checking the mail. You don't get mail.
No, we don't get mail. Who cares about it? Let it pile up. So our sailing adventures are titled The Gift of Going Without, which
Ooh.
Is so poignant, I
like
think.
That.
Well, it's not mine. It's something I picked up from the Pullens. You know Mary Chris?
From Ben church,
at church.
Yeah.
Mary Chris's parents, Mr. and Mrs. Pullen, they are awesome, first off. We sometimes meet up with them while we're sailing.
Oh, that's
different
cool.
places because they sail.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ms. Pullen was talking to me one time about homeschooling the kids on the boat and all these things
when
they
were small. Oh, my God. Is their boat bigger than yours?
I think growing up, they were on like a 42
wow.
or something. I can't quite remember. But they had 3 girls.
Woo!
And she said, we just called it the gift of going without. And she's so right. Sailing really is the gift of going without. They hit the nail on the head because once you declutter and once you have less, you really can see the forest through the trees.
Well, there's only so much you can fit on a boat. You can't take a bunch of stuff with you.
You realize what you need and what you don't need.
How many pairs of clothes do you take?
You know what? Clothes are probably the only thing that we take too much of. But I have 2 baskets of clothes.
Okay.
You know those little...
Hamper?
Not even a hamper, like a pop-up box.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Maybe 2 of those for me.
Wow.
And then 1 each for the kids, 1 for Ren. You don't need that much. You wear like 3 shirts.
Yeah.
If you come get down to it, right?
You wash them in the salt water? You can't
no,
do that. That would
God,
suck.
No, that sucks.
Okay.
But needing less, doing more. I find that we're always thankful for having less because it puts life in perspective. It really does. Okay. What you got for us?
Well, I like how surfing has taught me. Surfing has a super long learning curve.
Blah. I hate that.
Yeah, you can't just be. I mean, you know, if you start at 4 years old, 5 years old, yeah, you're going to be great just from the get-go. I mean, by the time you know what surfing is, you're already going to be good. But for me, I started much later in life. And, man, you can only get somewhere by falling down. Failure is inevitable, and it's a learning opportunity. It's not so many people, I think, are afraid of failure and afraid to fall.
Ding, ding.
And look stupid.
Those people.
But really, that's kind of that resiliency that you learn by getting back up, the lessons you learn by failing, because, you know, you failed for a reason, you figure that out, then you're going to do better next time. You may fail for a different reason, but you're learning all along the way. I mean, life is about, like you said, it's not about getting, always needing more, but it's more about kind of finding your rhythm, finding a flow, finding, you probably hate that word.
Yeah.
But don't be afraid to fail. Just like in life with relationships, your job, your health, you know, it's all going to be about failing or falling and learning from it. And sometimes it's just, it's a better way to fail. Mm-hmm. I mean, until you're there. And I'm thankful for surfing because it was a long learning curve. And just like writing is also a long learning curve. I have the resiliency for it, I think, from surfing.
I think my major, the major lesson that you're going to teach me over the years and have already hit me in the head with several times is that resilience from failure. Because you have such a healthy, great attitude about it.
Because I have failed so many times.
Well, maybe it comes from putting yourself out there. And maybe that is what I'm really lacking is putting myself out there. And so I'm hoping to garner some of your wisdom.
In your writing?
And perseverance. Yeah, specifically, I'm talking about writing right
awesome.
Now. Okay, next big thing for me would be we are not entitled to comfort. Life lesson number two on
the
sailboat.
I like being comfortable.
I love it. It's hard, though, to learn that lesson when you are in your comfortable, you know, perfectly comfortable perch on your couch in your climate-controlled house.
I don't like being cold.
I don't like being hot. But guess what? I am 6 months out of the year.
That's right, because there's no air conditioning on your boat.
No, but it's perfect.
It's got a breeze,
the temperature's perfect, right?
Oh, God, even at night, is it a little bit...
Sometimes it's sticky.
Sticky.
But sometimes it's gorgeous. And you appreciate those gorgeous nights. When you're in your home, you don't ever experience those gorgeous nights. You sleep in the AC. Sleep in the AC. I love dropping my dirty laundry in the washing machine in my house. Mm-hmm. And just that junk comes out magically clean and it's done. I don't have to schlep it into a dinghy, across the water, up a dock, to the road, onto my back, with two kids in tow. Going God knows where to get the laundry done. That's like a
holy cannolis.
You know what? The discomforts like that, like just the basic discomfort and struggle of doing laundry on a boat, it really makes us stronger. Mm. And it makes my family tighter because we're enduring everything together. You have to be a team to make that junk work.
They're not seeing you sit on your butt and have other people do it for you. Your maid come and take care of your laundry.
No, man.
They're seeing you struggle.
I'll tell you what. My kids are tough because of it. I see it in my children all the time. Compared to their peers, especially, they're just resilient. They don't fall apart. I mean, sure, my two-year-old wants my attention and he's going to flip out when he starts getting tired. But they know what being a little hungry is like. You know, on a 7-hour bus ride to Guatemala City when there's no room and they're sitting in my lap for 7 hours and we start running out of snacks and there's nowhere to stop. Like, they just persevere. And I just appreciate that mentality. I love it, actually.
Well, I might could tack on to that. Like,
do it.
When you're on a wave and you blow it, that's uncomfortable.
that hurts, right?
Well, I think it can be, I think it can be how you frame being uncomfortable. For me, I'm motivated by fun. I like to have fun. I want things to be fun and comfortable, probably. But when I'm surfing, I make the blow-ups fun. If I'm getting tossed in the wave and I go for a wave, I'm paddling for it. Instead of popping up, I slip, I do the splits, and then the wave chucks me over the falls and then holds me down for a little bit. Like, generally, I pop up smiling. I mean, I'm laughing because the wave just beat the hell out of me. And it's kind of funny, unless I'm bleeding profusely or broke a rib, which, I've done those things too. But generally, I just think, wow, the ocean just whooped my tail and, I'm going for the next one. And so I was telling my newbie friend, like, make it fun. Like, I reframe when I do get sacked by calling it fun. I mean, obviously it's not fun when you're skateboarding and you fall on concrete.
No.
But when do you get to play in the water where you're tumbling around? I think that's fun. I'm weightless. I'm tumbling around. I mean, I'm getting smacked around. I mean, if you get the air knocked out of you, that's not as much fun. But a basic tumble over the falls and you get thrown around, and if the board doesn't hit you in the face, that's fun.
But I think, well, first of all, I think you have an amazing attitude about those things.
Well, it's better than saying, oh, shit, that sucked.
Or just getting frustrated with the experience and quitting early. Yeah. So you have a really healthy attitude with these kinds of things. You have a lot of perseverance already. But also, I think, I don't know. I just think because of that, it opens you up for some really, where was I going with that?
Efficiency. I think that's your next one.
We might have to cut that little bit right there. I had a great thought, but then the coffee took it from me. All right, fine. We'll just go to efficiency because that would be like my third lesson.
Okay.
Yes. Living on a tiny boat with a husband and two tiny people has definitely taught me the practical.
Okay, wait, let me interrupt you. Difficult people. Here's my last one.
Oh, okay. Let's do yours first. Difficult people.
Okay. In the water, there's going to be some difficult people. And basically, this is all you have to do. Just like in life, you could walk away, so you just paddle away. You just paddle away. Mm-hmm. It's a big old ocean. You mm-hmm. paddle away. But another thing that you could do is share Jesus with them, and then they just paddle away.
You can scare them off.
You can scare them off.
Wow. And then you don't lose your wave. You're right there.
Yeah.
They move on.
And they move on. They're like, oh, no, gotta go, gotta go.
Yeah. You're so wise.
Yeah. Okay. Back to your efficiency.
So back to efficiency. Yes. We have learned the practical value of efficiency. We make our own water. We make our own electricity. Because of that, we have to monitor everything and compensate for it. So you can just plug in your laptop.
Huh?
You can plug in your laptop to charge it, but you better check that.
Solar power.
Mm-hmm. That battery monitor. Oh. And you better make sure that you're plugging it in at the right
Nothing's
time of the day.
Nothing's a given.
Nothing's a given.
Wow.
You work for every single thing. Every drop of water that you use, you work for. So you really learn how to get the most out of the little.
Mm.
The majority of the cruisers we come into contact with, they have to do this too. They utilize their efficiency. But sometimes we meet people that don't. Either people that are on yachts or just people that are on really big, nice boats that luxuries. They have washing machines aboard. They have great, big, huge, expensive water makers.
So if you're sinking and, you're trying to save yourself, the person that has those things is probably going, I wish I could save my washing machine.
Yeah, maybe.
No, okay.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know because I don't plan on sinking, but...
What do you do?
Look, man, we even have a friend that has a bathtub on her boat.
Oh, dang. A little bubble bath under the... Star
boat was made in France or something, and it's spiky. Cold. It was cold, so she had a bathtub put in.
Have a warm bath.
Yeah,
that's nice.
It's a huge luxury, but
will she let you like hop aboard for like an overnighter bath?
I don't
experience?
Ask. You don't ask. I mean,
if she told you about it, that's the least
she
should do.
I saw it. I mean, I went in there and saw it.
She let you drool over and then wouldn't invite you over for a bath. I mean, not together, obviously. Except for you and Ren could take a little hop.
Why are you getting so weird?
I'm even thinking about enjoying a hot bath. I'm imagining you not having a shower. You don't have any way to bathe. Maybe a little wet towelette. And here comes your friend, supposedly, showing you their bathtub going, yeah, on a cold night, we take hot baths.
Like, okay, friends at home, maybe I... Okay, my situation is not quite that desperate. We always have water to shower with. Okay, we're not ever using diapy wipes to clean ourselves. And also, I need you to comment and let Laurel know that 3 cups is too many. She has to stop hard two cups. That's it.
Of coffee.
Not the third.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, where the heck was it, Laurel? Where the heck was it?
You're talking about the modest... but priceless.
Ah, yes. Even in the looking through the lens of somebody with a bathtub on their boat, I really would not trade up. I can say 100% I would not trade up, because the lessons I've learned from my modest post are priceless.
Mm.
Their value is immeasurable. The effect that they and the impression they've had on my family and what they do to my family, these hardships really just...
So if someone offered you a free boat, a free bath for your boat, you would say, mm-mm.
Well, ours would not fit a bathtub, but if they wanted to just give us like this super pimp boat,
yeah.
I can honestly say I'd have to think about it, because I tell you what, more money, more problems.
More problems.
You start getting that super nice stuff and it seems great, but God, then you got to keep it up.
Yeah, I remember when before I got married and I had this house and it needed a lot of stuff done to it. Mm-hmm. And so when my mind went to, oh gosh, you know, I've got to fix this or I need to make more money. And then I just think, well, it would just be gone, because I would just have to fix this and then I'd fix this and then I'd fix that and I still wouldn't have any money. I just kind of lost motivation.
Yeah.
And then I met Don.
You see, and then he just fixed everything. That's what makes you smart.
Yeah.
Inefficient.
Absolutely.
Oh my God, I love that full circle junk. See, you learned that lesson.
I think it's time.
Yes, yeah. It is.
Time for a little God waters.
Let's tread into some God waters. Hit us up.
Okay. Today we're going to John chapter 3, verse 5, where Jesus is talking to this super religious dude who was all about following the rules. And Jesus said, truly, truly, like absolutely, definitely, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So basically, Jesus is saying, unless you let the past go and accept my Spirit, you can't have a new life, an eternal life.
But you're talking about born of the water. Are you about to talk about baptism, Laurel?
Yep. So baptism, you know, is simply a visual representation of what's happening in your heart. So you're telling your friends, your family, hey, come see me. I'm going to get baptized. I want to tell you what's going on new in my life.
They're going to dunk you in the water. The old you is going to die. The new you is going to emerge from the water. It's just a super powerful image. So, I love it.
So years ago, I decided to get baptized at the beach. So, I mean, I was baptized as a baby, mm-hmm. but I don't remember it. No. I didn't make that choice. My parents made that choice.
Same.
So after years of living my self-centered life that included all kinds of self-centered things.
Mild debauchery, yeah.
Yes. I, you know, had come to know Christ through a friend and, you know, I was ready to tell people about it. So, but at the same time, I learned to surf. And I finally bought my own board. It was a used board off Craigslist. And so what I thought was, I'm going to wait and surf on this board for the first time. I'm going to christen it after I get baptized.
Ah, it's going to be your reward.
Yeah. Well, not just a reward, but it's going to be something new that starts, you know, my new life is starting. Its new life is starting.
Ah, cool.
Yes.
You are a writer.
So I left it at my friend's house, unwaxed, ready to go. And side note,
another friend came over to his house, wanted to try out my board and waxed it up and took it out to surf without me.
I know. I mean, how rude is that?
So, okay. So anyway, he gave me a 2 millimeter surf top for my baptism. So I forgave him.
Okay.
But that wasn't so lame. It had wax on. I was like, why is there wax on my board?
That seems like a serious faux pas to be waxing up somebody else's new board. I mean.
Right? Duh.
That friend.
Okay. Anyway. I forgive him. Anyway, so I decided I was going to fast surfing for 1 week before mm-hmm. my baptism. And so during that week, I knew what baptism was, but I looked it up in the dictionary. I was like, what does that really mean? And one of the definitions was to be given a new name. Okay, seriously, my name's Laurel, and I love my name.
It's a sweet name.
Yeah. So I was a little kind of, you know, with trepidation, I asked God, do I have a new name?
And God said, Samantha.
No, but, you know, I didn't hear an audible voice, but as soon as I said, do I have a new name? I heard, like, kind of in my center, Unashamed.
Oh, Laurel.
That's kind of cool, isn't it?
It's so cool because I'm sure many people feel this way also, but it's the shame of the old life that for me was also just really haunting. And even after my baptism, it took, you know, mentorship from you and also just praying, mm-hmm. reading the Bible, really getting to know my new identity yeah. before I could with 100% assurance say that's dead and gone.
Yeah. He's that old suitcase is gone.
The trunk is shut, buried. And that is so liberating when you finally have that, when you accept your own new identity.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
That's cool. It's so cool. And you know what? I was baptized at the beach, too. And so was Ren.
And you know what? That's the only one that should count. Just kidding. And there was waves that day. So I did have fun on my surfboard later. Just yeah. a little side note.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk about baptism more later, too, because I don't feel completely finished with this subject.
No, I mean, we could talk about it for days.
Ever. All right. How about we spit some homework at these people?
Absolutely.
So I think maybe, I don't know if you agree, I hope so, but I think since we've been talking about the really hard lessons that we've learned from being on the water, and they all seem to be harder lessons, mm-hmm. I think that our friends at home should be trying this week. They should do something uncomfortable. They
like
should,
what?
I don't know, get up and make their bed as soon as they wake up. That way they start their day with efficiency or take an ice cold shower.
Woo! That's fun in the summer, but not in the winter.
Hey, man.
In a cold climate.
You're not entitled to comfort.
Ooh.
But then the hardest thing that you're going to do that day is done. And then you can bask in that glory of having just stepped out of your sphere of comfort.
I like
even
it.
Even for just a few minutes. It's powerful.
So let's get personal. What are you going to do uncomfortable, Ashley?
Oh my gosh. Well, after listening to you today.
Yeah.
While we've been talking, and you say a lot about persevering through failures.
Yep.
And I know that this is hugely one of my weaknesses. So I'm going to let you help pull me through that. And my homework is going to be to finish my contest entry. It's only 1,200 words, right?
Come on.
Finish it. And then I'm going to read it to Ren, of course, but I'm not going to stop there.
Okay.
I'm going to give it to you along with a red pen.
Yeah.
I want you to rip it apart and just be so brutally honest that it makes me cry.
And just know that that critique is just, that's just for you. That's like a gift. I'm giving a red pen gift to you.
Yeah.
Of here's how you can be better.
That's how it's going to feel. Let me remind you too that it's going to be
a big
fiction.
Old step and poop. Oh, it is going to be fiction.
And I'm not a fiction writer. I do not practice
it's
fiction.
Nonfiction.
No, it's going to be fiction.
Woo! Your children's book.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So I'm really nervous. I'm really nervous about it.
Okay, but I'm still going to work that red pen it's never been worked before.
What about you? Do something. Know what I want you to do? Even what? I know you're going to say no.
Yeah.
I want you to show up Saturday and do a breath hold with my class.
Saturday morning, I have a writer's group.
Yeah, but it's in the afternoon, so...
Your class is in the afternoon?
The breath hold portion, yeah.
Okay, I might do that. I might. The more I say it, the more I think I'm willing to do
it. A strong might. But what? You had your own ideas, though.
Well, I was planning on submitting. So I've been working on a Surfer magazine article. I've gotten some feedback from a friend who critiqued it. Mm-hmm. And so I just need to make those adjustments. But I'd like to submit it by next podcast.
Well, that is a great goal. I think you should do both.
Okay. I'm thinking about it.
I mean, your article's done. I think you should do both.
It's not done. Okay. Guys, gals, we just want to thank you for showing up today, listening to our humble podcast, and listening about the things that we've learned in the water. And I'd love it if you could share some hard things that you've done, because we can learn from you guys.
Yeah. Go ahead and visit postsessionpodcast.com. Check it out. Leave some comments. Leave some comments about this episode and sharing, like Laurel said, or
take your red pen.
Yeah.
Critique us.
Please. We need it so bad.
We want to get better.
We need to know what you like, what you don't. You can comment at the website. You can hit us up on Facebook. You can leave comments at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you found the project. So please, let's hear from you.
Thank you for listening, friends. Next time.
Thank you.
Looking forward to it.